The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. On one occasion when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you're invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come to you and say, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you're invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you'll be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they might invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know about you, but when I'm at a sporting event, I like to get good seats. If I go to Nationwide Arena to watch the Columbus Blue Jackets, the club level is really nice. Certainly the lower bowl is wonderful, and even their mezzanine section is a cheaper way to be in the lower bowl, but still having good seats. Essentially, I like to avoid the upper bowl. It's not a deal breaker if you want to buy me tickets to the Columbus Blue Jackets, but certainly I want to be in the best seats. Southwest Airlines doesn't have assigned seats, but they have the coveted A group. You can even pay extra money to ensure that you're in that A group so that you get the seat that you desire. And being part of something that's exclusive can be exciting. It's nice to be on the inside, getting benefits that no one on the outside is getting. But if we're too busy seeking the seats of honor, we neglect those who we invite and welcome to the life of the church, to be in communion with God. Let me assure you that the word welcome, and the words all are welcome on church marquee signs that you see driving by mean very little to people on the outside. They've seen those words. They've heard those words from church people, and they know them to be empty. Because in our sinfulness and brokenness, we're playing musical chairs. Meaning that in a theology of scarcity, there's not enough seats for everyone. There's that ubiquitous joke that the parishioner tells the guest, you're in my seat, right, in church. We've heard that joke many times because we know what happens many times. Those words of welcome, they're empty. They're a lie. Not enough room for you here, at least not in which we can honor you in any real way. And that's what Jesus is pointing out in Luke's gospel. He's a guest in a Pharisee's home, and they're too focused on seeking honor and claiming it for one another. The host is only interested in having guests that can return the favor. when we fall into that trap, our God then becomes what distinguishes us. That's what we worship. What makes us exclusive. Rather than the gifts of the past, of our heritage, of our tradition, that push us forward into a new tomorrow with the gospel, we're also captive to our selective memory of yesterday. Our congregation used to be full of these people. Our congregation used to be known for doing these things. And with churches in the United States, there are too many who are held captive to the power and influence that they once had in the community. No longer special. No longer the place to be. Be careful what we wish for. Those games of musical chairs that theology of scarcity has made churches so exclusive that people either feel they don't belong there or have no desire to come at all. We want to go up high to distinguished places. We want the best seats. But is that imitating the way of Jesus? Jesus comes down, takes the lowest place among us. And that's what Jesus calls us to do. And that is where Jesus sends us to be. Recently, I read a book called Jesus and the Disinherited by Howard Thurman. And it's reported that Martin Luther King Jr. studied this book. He had a copy, carried a copy of this book during the Montgomery bus boycotts. And in the first chapter, Thurman offers an interpretation of Jesus. In 1935, he was part of a delegation of American students to India, Burma, and Ceylon. And Thurman's Christian identity was challenged by the principal of the Law College of the University of Colombo, who was also a Hindu. The principal asked him this question. He says, "What are you doing over here? I know what the newspapers say about a pilgrimage of friendship and the rest, but that is not my question. What are you doing over here? This is what I mean. More than 300 years ago, your forefathers were taken from the western coast of Africa as slaves. The people who dealt in the slave traffic were Christians. One of your famous Christian hymn writers, Sir John Newton, made his money from the sale of slaves to the New World. He was the man who wrote, 'How sweet the name of Jesus sounds, and amazing grace.' There may be others, but these are the only ones that I know. The name of one of the famous British slave vessels was Jesus. The men who bought the slaves were Christians. Christian ministers, quoting the Christian apostle Paul, gave the sanction of religion to the system of slavery. Some 70 years or more ago, you were freed by a man who was not a professing Christian, but rather the spearhead of certain political, social, and economic forces, the significance of which he himself did not understand. During all the periods since then, you have lived in a Christian nation in which you are segregated, lynched, and burned. Even in the church, I understand there's segregation. One of my students who went to your country sent me a clipping talking about a Christian church in which the regular Sunday worship was interrupted so that they could join a mob against one of your fellows. When he had been caught and done to death, they came back to resume their worship of their Christian God. I am a Hindu. I do not understand. Here you are in my country, standing deep within the Christian faith and tradition. I do not wish to be rude to you, sir. But sir, I think you are a traitor to peoples, all peoples of color throughout the earth. And I'm wondering what you, an intelligent man, can say in defense of your position." The conversation, Thurman said, ended up going on for about 5 more hours. And I won't go into that full 5 hours, but Thurman gets to the basics of who Jesus was. He says Jesus was Jewish. Jesus was poor, and Jesus was part of a minority group that was in the midst of a larger dominant controlling group, being the Romans. In the West, Christians would be part of a dominant controlling group, but that was not Jesus' reality. For the Jewish people in Jesus' context, Rome would have been a barrier to their peace. And how they responded to this controlling group in their mind was something that they had to come to terms with. Thurman quotes Luke's gospel when Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Thurman's interpretation of Jesus enables us to be detached from weaponized expressions of Christianity in the past and the present. And Thurman also gets us back to the basics of our faith, reminding us who Jesus is and who the gospel is for without compromising our convictions. In fact, what Thurman does in his interpretation of Jesus is demonstrate how when Christianity is on the side of the powerful against the weak, that is a compromise and denigration of the Christian faith. Who does Jesus hang out with? Who does Jesus sit with? Jesus is a divine host that's always making room at the table. People are rightly confused when they see Christianity in our past and in the present on the side of the powerful doing harm to the vulnerable. Because Jesus takes the lowest seat. Jesus is stripped of his honor, of his clothes, of his dignity, nailed to a cross. It was the powerful that did that. It was the empire that did that, that tried to strip him of his life. Jesus was on the side of the disinherited. And this is a reminder and witness that people like Howard Thurman show us the way of Jesus that brings a kingdom where the first will be last and the last will be first. The good news is that God joins us in the lowest places and raises us up from the ground up. It's not a top-down mission or operation. This is from the bottom to the top. Jesus' descent to the lowest place was his death, and now he is raised to new life. Heaven and earth are joined together in our Lord and Savior. So we do not put our trust and our faith in the past. We don't put our faith and our trust in what we think the church should be in the future. Our faith and trust is in the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And we trust our place in the kingdom. We don't seek the places of honor in this world. We trust the place that God has given us in God's kingdom. Given new life in bread and wine that is the body and blood of Christ. Not just a place, but a foretaste of what is to come. Our future is Jesus Christ. We are in this place of honor not by our doing, but by the work and faithfulness of Jesus. Sitting with Jesus means we imitate and follow the one who has given us a place at the table. No longer playing musical chairs. No longer captive to theology of scarcity or an idolatry of yesterday. We are no longer seduced by the power and status of this world. For we have been included in a place where there's always room for you here. You feel you don't belong in this world, there is always a place for you in God's kingdom at God's table. And we share in this power that is found in the eternal love of Jesus that desires to make room for everyone. Go to those places, beloved children of God. Invite those who feel that they don't have a place, who feel that they don't belong, who feel like their backs are against the wall. Invite them up to the highest places in God's kingdom, God's table, in God's house, where we belong now and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.